Ricky's. This is my ultimate tip. If I ever give a tip on this podcast, this is the one you need to listen
to. Okay. All right.
It's incredible. So I take, it's really complicated, Chris. You might have to get out a pen and paper.
I mean, I've known you as Master Chef, so I better not let me down here. Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers with the power of connection. I'm glad you guys joined us on the podcast. My name is Chris Roby, and over here is Carly Duke.
Hey guys.
So Carly, did you ever play a lot of video games?
My video game playing would have been minimal.
Okay.
With brothers and or maybe a boy or two that I was trying to impress. But like Halo, Sims, does that count? That was more of a computer game, I guess.
It counts, yeah.
Sure, but no, I didn't do a lot of video game playing.
Yeah, it was a problem for me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's a huge problem. That was definitely in my friend group in high school how we connected. Mm. And I remember always, you know, I'm old enough where we talked about, it's kind of when video games became really awesome, like GoldenEye and like stuff that, you know, is ancient now, but we always had to play at someone's house, right? Mm-hmm. We always talked about how cool would it be if someday you would just fire up your console and talk to your friends and play. You don't have to go anywhere. And that seemed like a pipe dream back then, but now it's like, that's how things are going.
Yeah, look at it now.
Exactly, yeah. It's just advancing now. I mean, mm-hmm. just the technology is getting, as internet connections are getting faster. Yeah, it's just, it's incredible what's happening with the technology.
It is, and video games, or gaming in general, I guess, computer games, everything, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something we want to talk about and are going to talk about pretty in depth today,
mm-hmm.
because especially in the midst of 2020 and the pandemic, video games skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, numbers went through the roof. And one stat I saw said that at least 70% of kids under 18 were on consoles.
Wow. In 2020.
In 2020. That's nuts. That is a ton of kids. And especially, it's both genders, but especially boys. This is a big thing for our boys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that many kids on a gaming console, there's concerns, obviously, right. of, you know, is this good for us? And as we were prepping for this, I talked about how, you know, when I was a kid, video games were kind of looked down upon, like as something that's going to melt your brain, and you know, you don't want to do too much of it. So it always carried a little bit of guilt with me as I, you know, as I played too much. And we're gonna talk through that. As you know, is that really true or not? But from what you've seen, Carly, are there diagnosable issues that come along with this?
There are. So there's actually something known as internet gaming disorder.
Okay.
And it is now a recognized disorder.
Wow.
Like, so in the DSM. I'm going to butcher that. Mm, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the psychiatry stuff, they would say that this is an actual disorder that boys are almost twice as likely to experience as a type of addiction.
Wow.
And so that sounds scary. And I think we'll get into this a little bit more, but people think this is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And it is. And it's something to watch for. But on the statistics, it's about 12% of boys and about 7% of girls are addicted to gaming.
So not like all 70% that are on.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly. So it might not be massive. You probably don't need to be too worried about it. However, we do need to be talking about this because, like I said, 2020 was a big year for video games. And in 2020, I saw a stat that said nearly half of kids and teens who were playing more than 6 hours a day.
That's a lot.
Think about 6 hours a day. That is more than some of these teenagers are sleeping.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that's why they're not sleeping, probably.
That's
in some ways.
Truth.
Yeah, yeah.
That's truth. And so, and as you think about the teenage brain, I know we've talked about this some, Chris, but it's still developing. And when you are playing video games and for that amount of time, I just feel like teenagers are opening themselves up to an addiction in a way that maybe even an adult wouldn't.
And I think it'd be interesting to see in 5 or 10 years as they look back on this period of time with the pandemic and spending so much time indoors where you have a developing brain that is undergoing a trauma,
mm-hmm.
also with, you know, all the shutdowns and disruptions and the craziness of last year. How those things combined, if those numbers of the 7% of girls or 12% of boys goes up.
Right. Well, and I think some people, some experts even would say that maybe gaming isn't the problem, but it's a symptom of an underlying problem.
Okay.
So maybe that's depression, anxiety. There's a mental health issue going on that's presenting itself through gaming,
mm-hmm.
but that to be asking questions, because maybe gaming isn't the actual addiction. Hmm. Maybe it's hiding something else that is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think as parents and helpers, we need to be wise about that, because this is something that is important to teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
70% of them.
Yes.
A huge amount. And so as adults, to kind of poo-poo the whole thing or to label it as something that's bad or harmful, mm-hmm. outright, we need to kind of check our own baggage on this a little bit too. You know, how much of our own childhood messaging around, you know, our brains being fried on video games is coming along with us, when, you know, gaming is different now than it was in the late 90s or, mm-hmm. or mid 90s, whenever it was just kind of a solo endeavor.
Right. And we'll get into that a little bit more when we get to our trend section of our episode today. But I also wanted to talk through just a few of these symptoms for the internet gaming disorder.
All right.
So there are a lot here. Bear with me, and I won't even necessarily cover all of them. But something to note before I go through them is, under the proposed criteria for this diagnosis, someone would have to experience 5 or more symptoms within a year.
Okay.
So as I go through these symptoms, if you're a parent going, "That's my kid. Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. he does 2 of those," that does not necessarily mean that he or she has an addiction.
Okay.
And so that's something to keep in mind. But preoccupation with gaming, that's something they always want to do. There are withdrawal symptoms when the game is taken away.
Okay.
Tolerance. So almost that idea that if you play a little, you've got to play more and more and more to satisfy the urge, which is where those marathon gaming sessions can come in play.
Wow.
The inability to reduce playing, giving up other activities, that's something I would definitely be worried about and watching.
Okay.
Continuing to game despite problems that it's causing, if they're being deceitful about it, if it is used to relieve negative moods, and then also if they are jeopardizing relationships, a job, something, sports, something that they are doing because of gaming. Those are all symptoms.
It's funny, as you read through those, you would, you know, you could substitute the word gaming with a drug.
Yes.
Right. I mean, this has that same, you know, this is called a disorder, but this has the addiction language, mm-hmm. around it as part of the symptoms. So only 1 or 2 of these is not something we're going to be worried about, but 5 or more is, mm-hmm. a diagnosable.
Exactly. And this includes gaming on the internet, on an electronic device, on a cell phone, on a console. So this could be many things, but mostly over the internet.
Gotcha.
So is what this is talking about. So not necessarily, I don't know, Candy Crush.
Okay. Gotcha. So do you think this is something that parents need or helpers need to be overly concerned about as a diagnosable disorder for their own children?
I think you need to be aware of it. I also think, as we say over and over again, if you notice a couple of these, start asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure there isn't something else going on. And maybe your teenager doesn't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I haven't seen you hanging out with this friend a lot because you're playing a lot of video games. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also don't know, because they're probably playing with friends, that for some, this is a social outlet, mm-hmm. as well. And we'll talk, like I said, we'll talk about that more in the trend, because I think that's part of what makes this trendy right now. But I mean, gaming can be very positive, but it also can have some negative effects. And so it's something that parents need to be aware of and need to be talking about.
What kind of negative effects do you, or could we expect to see?
So from my research, my extensive research, Chris, I have extensively...
Professor Carly.
Yes, researched, yes. gaming. Because like I said, this was not my preferred hobby growing up. But some things that you might see is difficulty paying attention, poor emotion management, decreased levels of compassion or empathy, depression, irritability. If they're sitting still for long periods of time, you might see unhealthy weight gain,
mm-hmm.
Sleep deprivation. I see this a lot. And I hear about this in groups a lot, that you'll talk to, especially teenage boys, and they went to bed at 4 o'clock the night before because they were playing video games with,
right.
friends. And so that's one. And then also becoming desensitized to violence. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big topic that parents especially are really worried about when mm-hmm. you think about some of the school shootings and Columbine, that parents assume the worst about video games. And it is something to be aware of. But I also don't think that any teenager who plays a violent game is in danger of all of these negative things either.
And I've seen just out of this list, poor emotion management happen a lot with kids who mm-hmm. play lots of video games, where especially if there has to be an end point to it, just really struggling to transition out of that, right? And just, you know, throwing a fit or just being really mad or, you know, resentful of the person who told them to turn it off. But that also goes along with that depression, irritability, and anxiety, where they haven't been in the real world a whole lot lately. Mm-hmm. And being in that virtual world, they don't have to think. They don't have to deal with life. And so when you're kind of zapped back in reality, that can be really a really hard transition to make.
Right. Let's talk about that. You talked about transitions. So what are some things that we can do to help our teenagers with video games and with these symptoms? Because mm-hmm. before we even started recording, Chris, me and you were talking about that transition time. Transitioning out of video games is so hard.
Yeah. And I've got two boys who are getting kind of into video game age, and that can be a problem where, you know, sometimes it's time to go to bed or time to go somewhere or do the next thing. And so that transitioning, especially if they've been playing for maybe a little bit longer than they should, which sometimes happens, getting them to be able to turn that game off and be able to come back with us in the real world. And so I'll tell you, the times I've seemed to go the most poorly is whenever I do it abruptly. Hmm. I say, turn it off. Let's go. That's a hard transition to make.
Right.
Because even though I think it's silly, they might be working on a level that's really important to them, or they might be building something in Minecraft, or, you know, they're on a timed game in Fortnite or something like that. Like, they're helping their team and they don't want to let their team down. And so for me just to go and turn it off and put it up, that's kind of a jerk move on my part, right? If you really come down to it. And so sometimes I'll offer a compromise with them, like, hey, we got to go, but I understand you need to finish this level. Can you finish this level, turn it off, and then can we go? Or can you give me 5 minutes? And after 5 minutes, if you haven't turned it off, I'm going to turn it off. Mm-hmm. And that's really helped a lot in that transition time where they've got some say in it. You know, it's not dad's coming, turning it off and gripping it out of their hands, but that they have a little bit of time to be able to turn it off on their own terms. That's been really helpful for us.
I also think if you have a teenager who plays a lot of video games, an important way to, I mean, connect with them is to join. Mm-hmm. Ask them, hey, can I play with you? Mm-hmm. And that's an easy way for you to, if you're confused about what is this all about, why do they care about it? Instead of just rolling your eyes, say, hey, I want to know. Mm-hmm. Why do you like this so much? Can I play with you? Mm-hmm. Hey, can I play a level and you sit behind me and tell me what to do? Mm-hmm. And that also will help with, you'll be on the same level with language and content, mm-hmm. context, all of that. And so that's an easy way to do it as well. Kind of going off your transition piece, creating a contract can also be helpful. So maybe sit down and talk together. Is there a limit we want to set to every day, how much video games you're going to play? Mm-hmm. What time are you going to turn it off and go to bed? And let's talk about that together instead of as a parent just saying, here's what's going to happen and here's when you need to turn it off.
I think it's an opportunity to help incorporate some other habits that are healthy. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to go the contract route, like say, hey, for every 30 minutes of video game time, we're going to go walk outside for 30 minutes. Or we're going to exercise. We're going to do something that is not screen based, to be able to kind of balance that out a little bit, to know, hey, it's okay to go in the virtual world and check out, but we got to check back in, right? We don't need to be living our lives daydreaming about this game that's not even real. So we need to be able to engage back in life however we can. And so be able to balance those two things out with some kind of a positive coping skill.
Right. And then finally, modeling healthy habits yourself. Mm-hmm. So making sure, especially with your phone or your computer, that you're modeling these skills as well can be really important to helping your teenager. Hey, podcast listeners, it's Carly Duke, and we have been getting incredible feedback on our podcast. And we wanted to give you three quick ways to show your love to the Teen Life podcast. So first of all, if you're not subscribed already, go into your favorite podcast app and make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. I promise we have some incredible stuff coming up soon, and you will not want to miss a single trend, tip, or topic that we're talking about when it comes to teenagers. The second thing you can do is go into your app and review the podcast. Give any suggestions, tell us your favorite episode. We would love to hear from you in your favorite podcast app. And then finally, if you know someone else that you think would love this podcast, please share it. Share it on social media or just text a link to your friend and make sure that others know about this resource so that they can join in the conversation as well. As you know, we do not believe that teenagers are a problem to be solved, and we are so glad that you're with us to help connect to teenagers. For the trend, I also want to stay in the gaming realm.
All right.
And so let's talk about what are teenagers actually playing. So kind of getting out of the stats, mm-hmm. What video games are we seeing?
Well, the ones we're seeing, we will miss games, just so you know, audience. So like if you run these by your teenager and like, who's this podcast you're listening to that's 3 years behind? Now, this is the most current trend list we can come up with.
Yes, this is anecdotal from talking to people. This is looking at list of what's best selling right now. But yes, your teenager might be playing something different.
Right. I mean, Madden still is a big player in the gaming space, FIFA for the sports, but Fortnite for kind of your more middle school kids, you're going to see is still a big player. Mortal Kombat 11, which blows my mind because I remember the cultural uproar of Mortal Kombat when it came out back in the 90s, and I cannot believe it's still a thing. Like, they keep squeezing that. Call of Duty and whatever iteration is.
Man, that one's been around for a long time, too.
It's been a long, long time.
And yeah. I actually think when I was looking at it, I think there are two versions, I don't know what you call that. Mm. Of course, my husband's rolling his eyes at me right now as I talk about video games. I just know. But when you're talking about Call of Duty, there are different types. So Warzone is the one that's really popular right now, mm-hmm. but it might not even be the most recent one, which is interesting. But that's the one that I hear talked about a lot and that I know a lot of people are playing. And what's interesting about that too is you can, as a parent, here's a tip, you can put a content filter on Call of Duty Warzone. Mm-hmm. So a graphic content filter. I'll post a link if you want to look up how to do that. But that will help take out some of the gore, some of the violence, and language, because mm-hmm. that is one that, according to my husband, cusses. Even if you're not talking to someone on a microphone, just the avatars and the people in the game mm-hmm. use language in that one. And so that might be something to talk about with your teenager.
It's also good to be aware as a parent of the kind of video game that your kid is into. And so that's a personality kind of thing. So some kids are just big into sports or big into shooter games, but you have kids that are into the massive multiplayer world where it's kind of story based. Those are time killers, mm-hmm. like where you're on these big quests with people and you have to schedule hours and hours on that. Yeah. And so it's cool if kids are into that, but also that they know, and you as a parent or a helper know, is that sometimes this is a huge time of commitment for some of these games.
Right. And then for middle school, Minecraft, Roblox, Animal Crossing are mm-hmm. all ones that you might hear about. For those typically are younger kids, not as many high school kids will do that. But also when it comes to trending, these video games are social. Mm-hmm. So like we said, this wasn't how it necessarily looked when I was young, but kids are not playing by themselves most of the time. Mm-hmm. They're sitting in a room and they're talking to five of their best friends.
And so that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I do think as a parent, you want to have conversation of who are you playing with.
Right.
Because there is possibility. My husband has a friend now who lives in Chicago that he's been playing video games for 4 or 5 years with, mm-hmm. that he's even met in person a couple of times, but met online on video games.
Yeah, yeah.
And so as an adult, I trust him to do that. That's a conversation, though, you want to be having with your teenager, because I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for them to engage with people who aren't in their circle, but make sure they're doing it in a safe way, that they're not sharing addresses, necessarily cell phone numbers, personal information.
And probably it's good to frame, you know, the people that you, to your student, the people that you meet online, is almost like you're inviting them into your home.
Right.
Right. And so just make sure this is a person you'd want to be hanging out with us as a family, mm-hmm. or playing something with you in your actual physical house, because they are, even if they're not physically present.
Right. And so an interesting stat is that more than half of teens have made new friends online.
Wow.
And a third of them say that they met their new friend or friends while playing video games.
Wow.
So, this is a way that they're meeting people, and especially last year in 2020, when a lot of kids weren't able to leave their home, this was their way to be social and to connect. And so, I mean, I think it's important. I think this is something that can't be overlooked or taken out completely as negative. Another stat said nearly 8 in 10 of gaming teens said that gaming with friends made them feel more connected. So that's a stat that you need to also be aware of.
We're all about connections at Teen Life, and that's important to us. And so that's why having this conversation around video games, you might have come into this thinking we're going to be negative about the whole thing. We aren't necessarily, because this is the way that a teenager can connect. And I think all the other things we talk about on this podcast about healthy connections applies here. And so if they are gaming with people who are verbally abusive or manipulative, or, you know, your student gets off of a game session and they're just mad or frustrated with, you know, that's something you need to talk to them about, because that's a relationship, even though it is digital. Them knowing how to manage those relationships in a healthy way is as important as if they were face to face.
Chris, I am pumped about the tip that I want to talk through.
All right.
Because let's talk food.
Ooh, food.
So first of all, I just want to say teenagers love food. It's an easy way. We do this in our support groups. If I can bring in a box of donuts or a pizza or a bag of candy, I am going to engage them more quickly.
What is it about food that brings us together? I mean, I guess we all need it, but I feel like I have gotten into deep, meaningful conversations with people about food.
Because it matters deeply, Chris.
I guess so. Yeah. But like, even
everyone has a strong opinion about food. Even if you are a quieter, not going to engage person, you're going to have an opinion about food.
Yeah.
And so it's an easy point. And so I just wanted to talk through some quick things that you can do, especially if you're having teenagers in your home or if you're taking them something. In my house, my husband is a high school basketball coach. We have teenage boys in our home a lot. And some of them pop up unannounced. So I keep cookie dough in my fridge all the time, just in case boys come over. Chips, goldfish, popcorn, candy, whether it's sour. I bought Sour Patch Kids yesterday just to keep in my pantry that my four-year-old was super excited about. But I told him, I was like, no, these are for the older boys, not for you. So that's a really easy one. My favorite dessert to make that the teenagers love is called Brookies. This is my ultimate tip. If I ever give a tip on this podcast, this is the one you need to listen
to. Okay. All right.
It's incredible. So I take, it's really complicated, Chris. You might have to get out a pen and paper.
I mean, I've known you as Master Chef, so I better not let me down here.
So all it is, grab, if you want to make the cookie dough, good on you. I grab just cookie dough from the refrigerator aisle at the store.
Okay.
You pat it down into a pan, like a 9x13. I put a layer of Oreo cookies down.
This is getting complex.
I know. And then you just whip up a brownie mix. You put that water, that egg, oil, mix it up and pour it on top and bake it. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
So super easy. All store-bought stuff. But anytime I make something or say I'm going to make something, I have about 15 boys begging me for Brookies.
Wow.
So do it. Try it. Try it and let me know how you liked it.
This is now a cooking show.
It is a cooking show. You're welcome. You're welcome. And then for desserts, too. We just want to put this real plug for the month of July. If you are anywhere near the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Buttermilk Sky in Colleyville is giving back to Teen Life for their pie of the month, which is peach pie.
Ooh,
it's perfect for summer.
A good summertime pie.
So that's a great dessert too. And then quickly, I just wanted to run through if you have a group of teenagers in your home. So maybe you're a youth minister, maybe you're a parent who just likes having friends over. Easy meals for crowds, tacos. I do pulled pork and mac and cheese. Man, if you get a pork roast, that will make enough for 20 kids. Easy. Pizza, burgers, hot dogs. Breakfast is also a hit. Breakfast for dinner.
Yes.
Pancakes, bacon. That's super easy. But we just want you, especially in the summer when if your kids are around, don't be afraid to invite them into your home. They don't care what your home looks like. They're not too complicated. Go buy some snacks. Get some Gatorade in your fridge. And have teenagers over in your home this summer.
Carly, I'm hungry. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.